good morning once again. So good to be with all of you. Open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. This last week was an interesting week in that I get three calls back to back every day. Three different people passed away that I knew intimately, but we're at that, at least my wife and I said, we're at that stage of life where the parents are dying and many of our people that we know, acquaintances, two of these people, the Lord gave us the privilege of leading to Christ. One of them, it's interesting, I'll tell you a story just to kind of give you the context. We were doing a fast. Now, I don't like the fast, so I like to eat. And we thought, you know what, let's try fasting. We've never done it before. So we said, okay, whoever wants to do it voluntary. And so we did it. Then we're going to conclude it by having a prayer meeting. And we're at the prayer meeting. This lady had come. She was the son of one of the men that were there praying. She had come and we started to pray. And she stops the prayer meeting about 15 minutes into it. And she says, I want to get saved. It was like, wow. And so you talk about an answer of prayer. And so she trusted the Lord. And we were so excited. Her name was Carol Billiter. The Lord called her home last week. The other one, the name is Frank Todaro. Just by the last name, you can tell he's what? He's Italian. That's right. Red Bone, his family, they had come from Italy. And his wife was saved first. Then we thought, well, this guy, he'll never get saved. He was one of those, you know, tough guys, grew up, you know, Italian and all that kind of stuff. But one day, he just bows his head, says, I want to trust the Lord. And he got saved. We were like, wow. And the Lord called him home also a couple of days ago. But praise God that they were saved. And then another brother from the assembly, his mom passed away as well. But she knew the Lord. So how important it is to know Christ as Savior. Because if you don't, it doesn't matter what you accomplished in life, right? You need to know him as your Savior so that when the Lord calls you, you know you'll be in glory with him. So even though we're saddened by what happened, we're grateful that they're in glory. They've been promoted, if you will. Okay, so let's read the text. Then we'll pray and we'll do a little bit of teaching on this text. 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 16 through 24. But thanks be to God, who puts the same earnestness on your behalf in the heart of Titus. For he not only accepted our appeal, but being himself very earnest, he has gone to you on his own accord. And we have sent along with him the brother whose fame in the things of the gospel has spread through all the churches. And not only this, but he has also been appointed by the churches to travel with us in this gracious work, which is being administered by us for the glory of the Lord himself and to show our readiness, taking precaution that no one should discredit us in our administration of this gracious gift. For we have regard for what is honorable, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. And we have sent with them our brother, whom we have often tested and found diligent in many things, but now even more diligent because of his great confidence in you. As for Titus, he is my partner and fellow worker among you. As for our brethren, they are messengers of the churches, a glory to Christ. Therefore, openly before the churches, show them the proof of your love and of our reason for boasting about you. Father, we appeal to the Holy Spirit to help us as we consider your word. Be glorified, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, well, before I start again, I forgot. I am going to do a mission trip in August to Mexico, and there's only room for four. More. I have everything else is, everybody else is already committed. So if anybody wants to go with me, August 2 through 11. All doors are open in Mexico, green. The area where I go, there's no issues there. Devin Boss, some of you know him, went and came back a couple of weeks ago. Everything was good. So if anybody wants to do a mission trip, let me know. All right. Also, I'll be traveling in a couple of weeks to Texas to do a conference and some other speaking, both Spanish and English. So I need your prayers for that. And we'll be doing some other ministry. Okay. So as you look at this chapter that we read, or these verses, you're going to notice that they were doing a collection. There was apparently some need in the Palestine area, Jerusalem and all of that. There was some kind of a famine going on or something. And so they were collecting money so they can take it to the saints and help them with their need. So a year before, Paul had told them about the need and they started doing collections. Not like today, you can just pick up the cell phone. Hey, you know, or send the money through a Venmo or whatever, or throw me a check real quick through the mail. It's not that easy back then. So a year before, he said, look, there's a need. Start collecting the money. Then we're gonna go down and get it and take it to the saints that have this need. And so they're in the process of doing all that. And as he's paused saying, okay, now it's time to go and collect that money. And when we get that money, we're gonna take it. And of course, if you're gonna do something like this, you need someone that you can trust, because the trips were dangerous. Danger with robbers and things of that nature. And so not only that, but whenever you put money in the hands of people, there's always that temptation. Isn't that true? Right? The root of evil, right? and so many people, even within the churches, we have heard, unfortunately, that, they're looking at the money, the offerings, and they're counting, and all of a sudden it's like, ooh, I can pay some bills, right? And they'll put a little bit in their pockets. So when it came to entrusting this money to take to the needy saints, they were going to just pick anyone. They needed someone who they trusted, who had good testimony, a good reputation before they gave this money. And so that's what this is about. Now, I want you to notice then that Titus was going to be responsible and they were going to send somebody with him. Now, as you looked at this text, what did you notice? Let me see if somebody paid attention. We'll let the man answer just for the sake. What did you notice as we looked at this text? Who was going to go with Titus? Who's going to go with Titus? No name given. That's right. That's right. There's no name given. Now, isn't that interesting? I remember clearly when I was around 20 years old, I knew them both. They were part of our youth group. They were going to get married. And the guy, his family, we were real close, we were good friends. And so everybody's all excited. The whole church is going to show up to this wedding and they're planning and getting everything ready. And when they had the invitation out, they started having a disagreement. She wanted her parents' name first on the invitation, and he wanted his parents first in the invitation. And so they could not come to an agreement. And pretty soon they started fighting about it, because why should your parents be first? I should be, you know, the wife's parents first and then yours under there. And like, no, the man should go first. The man first and then the wife, her parents under there. And so long story short, they ended up breaking up, canceled the wedding, and they never got married. And they were fighting bitterly, families and all, for years, because they wanted the name to go first. I remember also being in a conference, well, several conferences. And when we were done, one guy goes up and he starts for at least 30 minutes naming people off. And I'm sitting there, and brother this did this, and brother this, you know, brought the table, and this brother, and this sister brought some rice, and going through this whole list. And so afterwards, I go up to him and said, why did you find it necessary to sit there for 30 minutes reading? You basically read off everybody, the whole conference, right? Everybody's name. Well, because we don't want anyone to get offended if we forget to give their name. Now, isn't that interesting? Many people have left the local assembly or church because they forget their name, either in a bulletin or in some way. Now, we have this man notice his reputation. We already know about Timothy, but notice in verse 18, we have sent along with him the brother whose fame in the things of the gospel was spread through all the churches. So this wasn't just someone that no one knew, but this brother was well known. It says that his fame was spread. Apparently he would speak at different assemblies, right? Throughout all the churches, they knew who he was. They knew his name. He had the testimony, the reputation. He was a speaker. And yet, my question is this. Why did the Holy Spirit choose not to give us his name? Now, wasn't it just as easy to say Bob is going to go with Titus, right? Because you know who he is. You've heard him speak. He's got a good testimony. We trust him. And so Bob is going. And yet, the Holy Spirit chose not to name him. Now, if I'm correct, half of the people of the assemblies would be gone if this was true. We chose you, but we're not going to give you a name. We're just going to, the brother is going to go. Wait a minute. Don't I have a name? So think about it. This guy apparently didn't get offended because he's going to go. I was thinking, how funny, because in Colossians, I'm just going to read it to you. It says here, say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which you have received in the Lord, that you may fulfill it. Now, that's the time when you don't want your name mentioned, when you're not doing the work of God, right? It's like, well, why did you have to mention my name? Why don't you just say to the brothers, come on, make sure you're fulfilling your ministry. This guy gets called out, and it's in Scripture. But the man who was well known with a good testimony, a good reputation, the Holy Spirit chose not to give his name. I'm baffled. I think I would be offended if they wouldn't give my name. Just being honest, you know. But notice that verse 19, and not only this, but he has also been appointed by the churches to travel with us in this gracious work. So the churches all acknowledge him, his testimony, his way, and they appointed, we trust this guy. He's going to go with Titus. With the Christian, which is being administered by us, notice it, for the glory of the Lord himself and to show our readiness. You know, there's nothing that can stain a testimony worse than mishandling of the funds given to God, right? For God's work. Would you agree? Oh my, how many testimonies have we heard of people mishandling the money? And unfortunately, the name of Christ gets slandered. And the whole work gets put to shame. So notice that in verse 20, having said that, taking precaution that no one should discredit us in our administration of this generous gift. Again, Paul himself acknowledging this is so important that we do this carefully. We don't want to discredit the work of God. Notice that in chapter 6, he says the same thing in verse 3, giving no cause for offense in anything in order that the ministry may not be discredited. See, Paul was a man of God, used by God, but he was always careful with his testimony. He was always careful that the name of Jesus wouldn't be stained, that the work of God wouldn't be discredited. And so whatever he did, he was always like, let's do this in such a way that Jesus would be exalted, that God would be exalted, that the gospel would be exalted. We don't want to discredit in any way, shape, or form God's work. And he was ever so conscious of that reality, the testimony of the local assembly, right? And not only assembly, but a personal responsibility. And so we don't want to discredit the work of God. And so here's this man, whoever he was, the Holy Spirit chose not to give us his name. And I was thinking that so many people don't know our name. You know, we're people who are every day, you know, we go to work, we do our thing. We come to a local assembly. We're not famous. Nobody knows us. If I were to go to Texas and give one of your name, like who, right? Even the famous Doug Torak over there. If I go to Houston, like, you know, Doug Torak, everybody like, who? You know, who is that? we're everyday people. And most of us are rare, the person whose name is known all over the place, right? Your Billy Grahams, your John MacArthur's and all those big names. Most of us are just everyday mundane people, right? But the great thing about it is that the Lord recognizes us. He knows who we are. He knows my name. I matter to him. I have value in his eyes. And so most of us go about, you know, some of us are Sunday school teachers. Some of us help out. Some of us clean. Some of us teach. But we all play our part. Some do kids outreach. Some help at camp. We all do our thing for the Lord. And we want to do it honorably. We want to do it in such a way where his name is not discredited. Amen? We do it for him, for his glory. Some of you handle the money here. We want to do that in a way that's honorable too. So notice then in verse 21, for we have regard for what is honorable, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. Now we know that God is watching us and he's looking at our testimony, looking at our lives. There's nothing hidden from his eyes, as you know. And so whatever we do, we want to do it in such a way where God is observing us, and because we're in the sight of God, and God can say, hey, you did that right. You did it for my glory. That was honorable. That pleased me. I like what you're doing. I like what you did. But our testimony goes beyond just by the fact that God is watching us and looking at our lives, what we are at home, and how we do our ministry, how we serve the Lord, how we volunteer, whatever we do for God, but also in the sight of men. See, we can't say, well, I'm just doing it for God. What does it matter? It does matter. It does matter. And he's saying right there, yes, this is for God, and we acknowledge the fact that God is watching us, and we want to do it honorably. We want to be careful in our testimony. We never want to discredit God's work. We never want the name of Jesus to be slammed or shamed. Whatever we do, we want to do it for his glory. But and because not only is God watching, but man is also observing us. I was witnessing to this lady, and the first thing she said to me was, you know, all pastors are hypocrites. You know, well, I said, are you a mother? She said, yeah. I said, well, what if I say all mothers are hypocrites? Because I know this lady who's a mother who is a hypocrite. Does that include you? She said, well, I said, well, you can't tag everybody with that. Just because somebody may have offended you, right? There's a lot of honorable Christians. Oh, they're not famous. You don't know them. They're not pastors. They're men and women. They're teenagers, young ladies, young men who want to serve God and who are honest and they're sincere. And really, they glorify God in their testimony. Then she tells me, all right, I heard you speak. Now I'm going to watch to see if what you say is real. I was like, wow. Did you have to say that? Man, and just heart like a hawk watching me. But see, not only is God watching me, but men are watching too. And unfortunately, so many times men, as they watch the believers who say they're born again, that God did a work in their lives, God transformed me, there's hope in Jesus, he changed me, look at my testimony. And then they watch sometimes and they say, wow. So that's what God does, huh? I don't see any difference, they say. And unfortunately, that's been true so many times with so many people, but may God give us the grace and the power of the Holy Spirit to be genuine believers who sincerely serve him and love him. All right, so then, notice, and we have sent with him, verse 22, our brother, whom we have often tested and found diligent in many things, but now even more diligent because of his great confidence in you. All right, so here comes another brother. All right, so what did you notice about this guy? What did you notice about him? We don't know his name either. All right, it's like, wow, what's going on here? You know, how would you like to be part of that? We have this team that we're putting together, and we're going to be praying for him as Titus and the other dudes. Well, what's their name? We don't know their name. It's just, you know, it's but Titus, we know Titus. Yeah, but who are the other ones? Well, they're insignificant. It doesn't matter. Well, I don't know about that. But again, the Holy Spirit chose not to name. Wouldn't it be just as easy to say Charlie, right? Or Fred? But he doesn't. And so we have one brother who has a good testimony. The churches all know him. He speaks. And they respected him so much, said, this guy, right, we can trust. He's going to be part of the team with Titus that's going to take this money. Because they're representing the testimony of God. Men are watching. We want to do things honorable. We're going to give this brother. What's his name? We don't know. But not only that, but we're going to send another brother. Well, what's his name? Well, we don't know. But this guy, man, he's got a testimony. Ah, look at his testimony. Look at verse 22. Whom we have often tested. In other words, they were watching him. And when he served God, when he did different things, people were looking. Let's see if this guy's for real. Let's see if he's fake or if he's the real thing. Let's see if he really loves God or is he doing it just for attention? What's this guy made of? And so they tested him. Check that out. He was often tested and found diligent in many things. Well, look at the testimony. Look at the testimony. Wow. But now even more diligent because of his great confidence in you. And so here's brother number two. Brother number one, brother number two. Both men of God, both trustworthy men. The churches acknowledged them. By the way, you can see then that these brothers and the churches had fellowship with one another, right? And that's important too. We're glad Brother Doug shows up once in a while over there and yells at us for not being good Christians, you know? Straighten up. And we're like, okay, brother, we hear you, man. We're going to live for God. And so the churches, they knew each other. There was fellowship amongst them. That's so important, isn't it? And so they can say, you know, in that local church over there in Corinth, there's this brother. What's his name? I don't know. What do you mean you don't know? Well, you know, he's got a great testimony. He's a man of God. We're going to trust him. And so the team was assembled. You have Titus. You have brother number one and brother number two, men of God. Men of God. Verse 23. But as for Titus, he is my partner and fellow worker among you. So everybody knew Titus. You know Titus, my fellow worker. All of you know him. That's his name, Titus. As for our brethren, see, again, he doesn't name them. He doesn't name them. But watch this. They are messengers of the churches. In other words, they represented the churches, all the assemblies. They went from place to place. They were messengers. They represented the gospel. They represented Jesus Christ, the love of God. And their testimony was incredible. Watch this. They're messengers of the churches. Know what they were? Notice, they were a glory to Christ. And so what if your name is Ravi Zacharias and you did great things for God, and yet at the end, you stained the name of Christ? You know, the Holy Spirit never named them, but when they died, they were a glory to Christ. The name of Jesus was exalted and glorified because of the testimony. And I think that's what matters. At the end of the day, when they put me in the ground and someone speaks of me, that was he a man of God? Was he faithful to the end? Did God get glorified through his life and through her life and what they did? These men were a glory to Christ. You know, not too long ago, I was back in Houston and catching up with all my acquaintances. I was born and raised there. And I ran into a brother. His name was Luis Jimenez. Shy guy, quiet, not very well known. You know, in the assemblies, there's always the guys that are more well known, more outspoken and all. This was Mr. Everyday, you know. He was faithfully teaching a Sunday school class. And then one day, as he was teaching a Sunday school class, the Spirit of God spoke to him. That night, I couldn't sleep. So I go home and I'm tossing in bed. And his words. He said, you got to trust the Lord, because if you turn and you're not saved, you're going to be left behind. And they were just ringing in my ear. I'm like, Lord, I'm a sinner. And I get up in the middle of the night and I bow the knee to Jesus because of this brother. As far as he was concerned, the kids were, you know, rambunctious, you know, rascals, and they didn't pay attention and nothing happened. He was quiet. Nobody knew him. So I run into him. And then I say, hey, Brother Lewis, come here. I say, yeah. I said, have you know that way back then, 40 years ago, you were teaching that class, and guess what? I got saved. He, what? I said, yeah. The Lord saved me when you preached that little gospel message. He goes, why didn't you tell me? I said, it never occurred to me that I'm supposed to tell you. But as I saw you 40 years later, I remembered. I said, I got to go tell Lewis. And he was so excited. You know, what matters is that we're serving God. You never know when someone is going to get saved by you just teaching a Sunday school class, handing out a tract, whatever you do. About a month ago, I handed this lady a tract. I said, I want you to read this and then tell me what you think about it. She took it. And I thought, she's not going to respond. So she took it. And then about 2 weeks later, I said, well, what do you think? I really liked it. She said, I called my sister and I said, look what this says. And I'm like, oh. So then I gave her another one that explained more. Then a week later, right into her again, I said, well, what did you think? Oh, it was great. Tell me some more. And so I was saying to her, well, what do you understand about Jesus? She goes, you know, I understand that he's my Lord and Savior. I was like, wow. So when did you come to understand this? She goes, you know, about 20 years ago, I went to this church. She was raised Catholic, that guy was, right? Went to this church and this guy preached the word of God. I don't even know his name. But when he preached, I believed that message. But then I never went back to church, so I don't know anything about it. When you gave me this, I'm like, oh yeah, that's what happened to me. So this preacher whose name we don't know led her to Christ, and he didn't even know it. And then I started giving her some books for how to grow in Christ, how to grow in your faith. She was saved and didn't even know she was saved. Clear testimony. And so you could be, going to Camp Lailulai and serving or doing Sunday school class for 30 years and thinking nothing happened. You never know, right? We keep serving him faithfully. And the Lord is watching our testimonies. Now, I want you to notice passage in Hebrews. In Hebrews chapter 6. And notice verse 10. Now, here's what I want to get drilled into your life, right? This reality. For God is not unjust so as to forget your work and the love which you have shown towards his name in having ministered and in still ministering to the saints. You see, that's what matters. That God is observing you. And he's not unjust. He doesn't forget. Oh, maybe nobody knows your name, but he knows your name. Maybe everybody forgets what you've done, but he doesn't forget. And he's taking note. And he sees what you're doing for the saints, for the children, for the elderly. Whatever you're doing for God, he's watching. And he's not forgetting. Anybody knows who the family of Merari, hopefully I pronounced that right, is? They're in the Old Testament. They're the ones that had to take the pole and put it through there and carry the all the equipment for the tabernacle. They were given the mundane task. But what's your job? Oh, I have to take apart the tabernacle, run the pole through, take it out, carry the board. That's our job. Wow. Man, you guys are famous. You see what I'm saying? But they were faithfully doing their job. That's what God gave them to do. And they faithfully did it. Now, I want to encourage the mothers. faithfully raising the children, giving them verses, teaching them about the Lord, God watching. What a tremendous work you do. What a tremendous work you do. So praise God for mothers. Now, I want you to ask you some questions, right? Here's the first one. Who was Obadiah? Anybody know who Obadiah was? 1 Kings 18, 3 to 4. Don't go there. I'm going to give you a bunch of them, right? Obadiah was a faithful servant of the Lord, serving under a wicked King Ahab and Jezebel. During his time, for 3.5 years, he hid 100 prophets. And during this time, I don't know how he managed to do it, but he was feeding them, hiding. He hid them in caves. And he was taking food to them in a time where there's very little food and very little water, and giving them food and water. Wow. And nobody even knows who he was. Obadiah, who? You know what's funny? We're going to do a camp with our young people in 2 weeks. In fact, right past the Pennsylvania, right when you get into Ohio. There's only like 18 of us going, and we're planning and getting all this food ready and doing all these things, and the list is this long. And it's just 18 of them for one night. This dude, for over 3.5 years, fed 100 prophets in a cave. You ever heard anybody preach about him? All right. So who was Antipas? He's in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 13. Jesus said, he's my witness, my faithful one, who was killed among you. He was in the church of Pergamum. So here's a dude in the church of Pergamum. His name is Antipas. And he was so faithful to the Lord that he was martyred for him. And Jesus says, there's my servant, Antipas. He died because of my name, my faithful witness. So what about Shobi and Machir and Barzillai? Who are those guys? 2 Samuel 17, 27, 29. They're the ones that provided food for David and his troops when they had to flee from Absalom. They come and they refreshed them, you know, because they were out there in the wilderness running, fleeing for their lives. And here's these guys just brought food, water, and encouraged. You think that was important? Oh, yeah. There's those three guys. They're known for bringing food to David and his army. What about Obed? Obed played a huge part in the Old Testament. 2 Chronicles 28, 9 through 15. He led a protest against the northern kingdom, retaining the prisoners of war from the southern kingdom because they were brothers. So in other words, the northern kingdom and southern kingdom were fighting. The northern kingdom won this particular battle and took a bunch of them prisoners. And they were mistreating them and starving them. And Obed went over there and said, you can't do this. They're your brothers. Let them go. And they let them go. They took them back and they clothed them and they cared for them. They gave them food and they returned them to Jericho. I like Obed. Good to have this guy on your side. Then you have Ebed-Melech. Everybody know who he was? During the time of Jeremiah, Jeremiah 38, 6 through 10. Jeremiah was in a cistern in the mud up to his waist, right? And he was dying. And this guy had the guts to go in and tell the king, you got to let him go. Let me get him out of there. He goes, okay, I'll give you permission. And he thought ahead, I'm going to take rags, because when we pull him out of that cistern, we're going to rip his arms. So he put rags around the ropes so he wouldn't rip them, and they gently pull him out. He saved his life. Ebed-Melech. That's all he's known for. And yet he faithfully served the Lord. The Lord thought highly of him. Then we have Zechariah. Zechariah, he called out Joash. You remember Joash and his minions? Because of their sin, and he called them out. And you know what they did? They murdered him for doing that. Yet Zechariah was a man of God. Then we have Hanani. 2 Chronicles 16, 7, he reproved King Asa for not trusting the Lord. And then King Asa said, okay, I'm going to put you in jail for telling me that. And he put him in jail. And we can go on and on, right, of so many men in scriptures, and even women that did things And God takes note, and they're written in scriptures for us. So what am I trying to say? I guess because it's been an issue for me. Sometimes we worry about, did I get noticed? Does anybody know my name? If I die, will it matter anyway? Well, you know, the Lord's taking note. And you matter to him, and he knows you by name. And he's watching, and he's not unjust to forget everything we do for him. So here you are, these two brothers. Nobody knows their names, and yet they were a glory to Christ. Amen? All right, Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for these two men. We're kind of impressed, Lord, that they didn't protest and not go because they weren't named. But we're grateful that when they died, the testimony of Scripture was that they glorified your name. Pray that that would be true of every one of us. Whether we get known or not, whether we're famous or just hidden under the radar, may we faithfully serve you to the end. Be with us now as we go home, we pray. In Christ's name, amen.